Well, maybe we could start in a couple of minutes. There's lots of time, and we have the afternoon in front of us. Just wait another minute or two so that you can take your seats and. Feel free to sit here or wherever you want to. We can all see and hear each other, I think. Well, maybe I could begin by saying that my name is Tom Berger, and I'm the conducting the Alaska Native Review Commission. And this is a commission established by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People. That is an international organization of Eskimo people and an international organization of Indian people. And I'm from Canada, but I've spent 3 years in the Canadian and sub-Canadian Arctic and sub-Arctic regions holding meetings in the 1970s there in Native villages to see whether people wanted a pipeline to be built through the Canadian North. And I went to about 35 of those villages, held meetings, and wrote a report about it. And the Government of Canada adopted the report. I also made recommendations about preservation of the porcupine caribou herd, which is a herd jointly managed by Canada and the U.S., and the Canadian and American governments adopted the recommendations I made about preserving the herd for native hunting and as a native resource. And so last year, I was asked to come here and to hold meetings in Alaska about the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971. And I've been holding those meetings since February, the meetings are intended to give you, the people that live here in the villages of Alaska, an opportunity, a chance to say what you think of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, ANCSA as it's known. What do you think of ANCSA? How has it worked out here? What are the things that have worked out well? What are the things that haven't worked out very well? You know, I want to hear about the good things, and if there are other things that aren't so good, if there are some bad things, well, let's hear about that too. And I think that it is a question of looking at all of the issues. You know that in 1991, the shares in the corporations, in the Native corporations, become transferable, and some people in the hearings we've held so far, some Native people have expressed grave concern about that. They have said that they don't want to see the shares that people have fall into non-Native hands after 1991, because then the corporations and the land they hold might fall into non-Native hands. So these questions have arisen. Other people have said, well, we find that only the people who were enrolled in 1971 are entitled to have shares. What about our children? Why shouldn't our children have shares in the corporations? Why shouldn't they participate in the settlement? So people have talked about that. They're also concerned about the fact that 20 years after land is conveyed to the corporations, it can be subject to state property tax. And they've said, what will happen to our land then? Now, if there are people who say, no, we want to be able to sell our shares in 1991 and we want to get money for our shares, and if that means that native corporations and native land fall into non-native hands, well, that's the way we want it. If some of you feel that way, I'd like to hear from you. On all these questions, land, subsistence, the right of children born since 1971, the afterborns, the new natives, whatever you want to term you want to use to describe them, their right to participate in the settlement, all of these questions are questions that I want you to express your views on. Questions relating to land, subsistence, native government, all of these have arisen, and I want you to feel free to discuss them. What I'm going to do is go to villages throughout Alaska, and then I'll write a report next year, and it'll be made public, and a copy will be sent to all of you that participated in these hearings. Everyone who speaks at the hearing, their names are being taken down, and you'll get a copy of the report. And it'll be a basis then, we hope, if there's a consensus among Alaska Natives about the future, about ANCSA, about what is to be done, then I hope that consensus will be reflected in what I write in my report. In any event, we hope it will be an opportunity for you to plan for the future, future of the people here in the Otna region and throughout Alaska. As you may know, we had Native leaders and other people from the lower 48 and from other countries come to Anchorage in March for 3 weeks of meetings and discussions to talk about ANCSA and to talk about land claims and Native government in other countries. And we had Native people from the lower 48, from Canada, from the Scandinavian countries, from Greenland, from Australia, who talked about what Native people in those countries and those places are, what steps they're taking in their struggle for land claims and for Native government. And they want to know what's happening here in Alaska. You were the pioneers. You settled your land claims back in 1971. They want to know, how did it work out? How do you feel about it today? Where do we go from here? And that's why these hearings and this commission is important, not only to you people here in Alaska, but to Native people in the lower 48 and in other countries too. So feel free. We're taking all this down. Jim Sykes, our audio man, is here, and he's making sure it all goes down on tape so it can then be typed up and there'll be a permanent record of what is said, and the record of what is said at this village meeting will be sent back here to the Native Association, so you will have a complete record here yourselves of all that is said today. And you know Eileen McLean, who is working with our commission, who is helping to arrange these meetings as we go around the state. And the other gentleman with me is Bill Hess from the Tundra Times, who's going to be taking some photographs, but that's just because he may want to put them in the Tundra Times newspaper, and it's perfectly innocent. Well, having said all that, I should also say that if you wish to speak in English, that's fine. If you wish to speak in your own language, that's fine too. And Harry Johns, I understand, has agreed to interpret if we need an interpreter. So please sit down if you wish. We're just getting underway, and take a seat anywhere. We thought we should start this afternoon because we didn't know how many people might want to speak, and we knew there probably would be quite a few coming tonight, and we thought, well, maybe it'd be better if we started this afternoon, and then we'll have a little more time tonight when others who are working will be able to come. So having said all that, I think I should stop talking and turn the meeting over to you, because I'm really here to listen, to find out what you have to say about ANCSA, about the land claims, and about all the other issues that we hear so much of in Alaska, 1991, sovereignty, subsistence, and that's why we're here. So if anybody would like to start, I'll ask you to come over to these microphones so that what you say can go down on tape. And if you'd give your name just as we start, so we've got that.
Is this working?
Yes, sir.
My name's Spicely Jackson from Copper Center.
Yes, sir.
Questions about how do I like the land claim? You know what? Land claim to me is just another land claim that's been started a long time ago. It did a good things, maybe. Maybe it didn't get good things. As I look at it, look into it, sometimes it creates lots of things, lots of bad things. To me, looking at this land claim is just like looking at the Arab country. Down in Arab country, when a non-native gets in, when non-Arabs get into that country, there they create nothing but big fight against each other. As I look at this land claim, especially in this area in Atna, seems like everyone is just beginning to fight each other instead of trying to best ourselves. Land claim, that's what it creates to me. And then I think into the future about our little ones. What's going to happen to them? They're the people with no country. Only thing they're going to get is what we left behind for them, I guess. They native Indians. Aleut. To me, that's what it creates. I don't see not much of anything good in it. As over here in Atna, we did things good for the other peoples, but we never done nothing good for ourselves with this land claim things. That's the way I see it. If I say more, there's lots of more to say, but I don't like hurt nobody's feeling with it. That's my looking at this land claims.
When you perhaps we should leave it at that. I didn't want you to say anything, go farther and say anything that you didn't.
It doesn't matter. You have it doesn't matter to me if you have any question that I can answer it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said it's you didn't see much of anything good in it. You said that you referred to the little ones, what's going to happen to them, and you said it's got some of the Indian people fighting with each other. What exactly did you mean by that, if you want to say anything further on that subject?
There's a conflict between groups and groups. Some people don't like what's going on in this Atna things, and they talk about it for many years, and then somebody comes around and they come up with some kind of deal and make petition against and conflicts like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much then. If you decide later on to add anything, feel free to come back again and speak further.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name's Henry Bell. I'm from Chitna. And I think the land claim is the most wonderful thing happened to us. But the two questions you brought up there, the future, what's going to become of the land claim after 1981? And then another question was that what these little children that was born after 1971, that was our question too. What will they share in that land claim? Because those who enroll at 1971 are not going to go on and on forever, years to come. These little ones are coming up in new generation. And that was our question. What will they do? What will they benefit? That was our question. A lot of us, we didn't have much schooling, older people, and we don't quite understand sometimes the report we're getting. We don't get much of that report either from the corporation, so we don't know what the future will be. And I think land claim is a wonderful thing. But we are looking back to the future there, and we see it's just hopeless to us who are uneducated. So these are the questions we have.
Well, let me ask you this, if I may, since we have some time. The way ANCSA is set up, the way the land claims settlement is set up, in 1991, all the people that hold shares can sell them if they want to. Mm-hmm. And if enough people were to sell their shares, then other people, maybe non-native people, maybe other native people, could acquire those shares and take over the corporations, and it's the corporations, of course, that hold the land that was received under the settlement. I've been asking people whether they want to. See, Congress, when they passed the land claim settlement, said, well, we will let these people, native people, sell their shares in 1991. They can sell their shares if their shares are worth something, and they can sell them, and then white people can buy them and become shareholders in the corporations. And I just want to ask you, if you thought about that, and if you think that that would be fine with you, you'd like to be able to sell your shares, and or do you think that the corporations should only be held in the control of native people? I hope I'm making myself clear.
Well, that's where I sat when we look into the future, that is, there is no future, because I think, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I think we might be forced into selling the land by that time in 1991. And the way things look, I don't know. These are my questions. And then they've been scaring us into receiving the land lately. I noticed that I got problem down there in Chitna with my land. I got a land in there in that village which they're supposed to swap with me, But this lawyer wrote a letter to my lawyer and said that Henry didn't want to receive the land because of the tax in 1991. Now, that's all false statement they made there. I didn't say nothing about the land, but this is what they begin to use to the people who don't have a education or, you know, and that's what they will be using, according to what I'm thinking.
Yes. Well, in 20 years after 20 years after the land is conveyed to the corporations, after 20 years have passed, the land held by the corporations can be taxed. There could be a state property tax. That's that may be what they were referring to, but that wouldn't apply to individual land held under an allotment. But in any event, that highlights one of the things that people seem to be concerned about, that is, what happens to the land if it becomes subject to property taxation in, after 1991.
I don't have a very much knowledge about the land business, but in my own idea, I think I see there might be pretty much problem of handling the land in the future. And these things was my question. That's all I have to say.
Just before you leave, Mr. Bell, I'd like to hear the good things about the land claim settlement, and you said that it was the most wonderful thing that happened here, and maybe you could just tell me some of the good things about it that you had in your mind when you described it in that way.
Well, I see a few little development, you know, out of this land claim. Such as, we don't have much here at Otna, but and on the outside of land claims in other regions, and even right here, just looking at Otna primary construction here, we have something a little to look into, which make us to be, you know, thankful for what has happened. We're not making any money out of this deal, but we're at least not in the hole either. So we do a little bit progressing, and that kind of bring us, you know, something worthwhile to me, and what land claim did for us, and a few more years, maybe something little thing else might develop in this area, and we're looking to the future for that, and so that make me to think this land claim is wonderful thing happened here, and then we have a privilege of owning the land or countries and a lot other things that we used to enjoy. We feel so much free with it, of having this land claim. That's all I got to say.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
My name is Ken Johns. I'm from Copper Center Village. Basically, what Henry was mentioning about the land claims being something that's good thing that happened here in this area. My feeling started that it was one of the great things that happened in the history of Alaska, land claims, pertaining to the outside reservations and I think when the land claims first came through, the people that went down as our representatives had the options of turning portions of the state of Alaska into reservations, or coming up with this land claim, Settlement Act. Their choice of getting the land as a settlement and funds through was a great move on their part, I feel. Reservations are just one big chunk of land which you receive. It may not be land that everybody wants, but the land claims right now is you have portions of land all over in regions in 12 different parts of Alaska. And I really don't think that the land claims would have passed if they didn't ever find oil up here. I think we'd be still fighting it. And setting up the regional corporations, I think, was most certainly the best tool that the leaders could come up with. I feel they had options again there, and regional corporations were set up as a business entity. Now that they're set up and working on its own, I think it's about time that the tribal governments should actually start, as the traditional tribal villages and governments should mainly start getting down and looking into issues of land, what lands they want to preserve, what land they want to use for historical sites, and identify these people, these pieces of land, and to work with the regional corporation and gathering up these problems. We cannot rely on our regional corporations to do this. Regional corporations are business, and we should really start treating them as business. Our traditional values and stuff should be kept separate away from our regional corporations. We should really look into more to this federal and to the state for this a different type of settlement. It's not for profit. It's for our traditional values and cultures. I think that's the responsibilities of the federal and state government, and not our regional corporations. Excuse me. And I think through the years, we all, since it's land claims, I think we all felt the sting. I think we're sort of shying away from that. We're not looking more into the profit end. I think we're looking back to our traditional and culture values that we have with our land. And as for taxation, I think the regional corporations will work closely with any tribal government, and I think they should be stressed really hard to the regional corporations from village end, is that for land use planning and development should be directed from the people and not the regional corporation. And the people elect their board of directors. When they do that, it should not be a family thing. They should elect people in there that's good for the company, just to make money. That's what the corporation is there for. So I really urge villages and all over Alaska, is start setting up their tribal governments to where they can meet these issues, not as a business, but as a consultant to the region on how the people want their culture and their traditional subsistence set up. And taxation is a very big issue. I really don't know which way they're going to go on that. And excuse me. So another issue I like to bring up is that I really strongly feel that the children that are in bloodline of the stockholders that's been enrolled in the regional corporation should be compensated either by stock, part of the regional corporation, or they should be compensated by land, or even both. But they should be included by blood, by bloodline of families. And that's about one of the issues that I really strongly feel about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johns. Thank you very much.
My name is Evelyn Pete. I'm from Chitna. When we set up our boundaries for Atna, we had several, from each village had a land planner. And when those people that went to negotiate the Land Claim Settlement Act in Congress went down, I would say that about three quarters of them were orphans or misplaced natives or raised by white people. They were brought up in a different place than their own land. Myself, I was raised here until I was four and then brought up in Anchorage. I had to go to the elders to find out what our boundaries were. My great-grandfather told me when I was about 4 years old the boundaries of Atna itself. He was a traditional chief, Douglas Billum. When they negotiated the Land Claim Settlement Act, they should have used traditional chiefs like Jim McKinley, like a descendant of Douglas Billum, or Chief Goodlatte, Chief Nikolai, all the way up the line, because the chief and his family know the boundaries of the land. And when we set up the boundaries for Atna itself, we meant all the land in Atna, all the Copper River, Kolkana, Kokona, Taslina, Chitna, Chestochina, Nabesna, Bensinidi, Mentasta, Taslina, all the way up Cantwell. We meant everything in between. We had no trouble establishing those boundaries either. There was no confusion and no arguing about it, except toward North Way, Tanacross, Tetlin, Dot Lake, and Tok. Because we always, when a death happens in Copper River, all those villages come here. They come sit down with us and cheer us up and try to get us over our sorrow. Or the same with up that way too. Up the line, we call it. We go up there and we try to make them feel better. We know they had a hard time. They know they're having a hard time. And we share grief, we share happiness, we share food, we share animals and furs and beads with them. So we had, we almost had them go with us with Atna. And Doyon negotiated something in order for us to have Cantwell go with us because they speak our language. They're same as us. And really, so are Northway and Tetlin, Toktan across and Dot Lake. We speak the same language, just a little bit different, that's all. So the way I felt is that those native leaders, and I say so-called native leaders, or self-appointed native leaders, because they didn't speak from the traditional families, and they didn't really know the boundaries of the land. After they, while they were down in Congress, they negotiated for the Land Claim Settlement Act. They really didn't have a specific idea of what they were negotiating for. And I don't think that the United States government believed them when they came back after talking to our elders and finding out from our elders like Frank Stikwan and them that this, we really own all this land. This really belongs to Atnat'ana. Atnat'ana'nina. This belongs to us. We fought for it. We live for it. We'll die for it. You know, it's, nothing can change about it. The way we eat, the food we eat. I tried to eat, live in Anchorage, and I tried to live off of pork chops and chicken, and I just got real fat. I was 180 pounds. I got to 201 pounds one time. And then I went back and I started just eating my own native food. I got better. I got healthy. I got slender. And I decided from that point forward that I was going to drink good water, not chlorinated water, that I was going to eat good food and try to make sure my family have that kind of food, make us strong. And the only place we can get it is from this land that we own. We own all of it. And the regional corporations have, just a minute. The regional corporations have been set up to encompass all of these lands. The boundaries of Atna are still the boundaries of Atna. But now this, they say that because of this, the language of the of Anska itself says that we really don't own all this land. We can't. Well, we do. We own it. But all this land now is into the regional corporation, and each village corporation has up to 2 townships according to the population and according to exactly how the village is situated. Some of them, like Mentasta, are situated right in the middle of 2 townships, so they got both townships. Each one is different. And the land, I feel, can't be tied up. I want my children. I have a lot of children born after 1971. And they're native. They have a right to this land. Their children have a right to this land. My great-grandfather told me that all this land, as far as you can see, this is ours. It belonged to our family. Our family is Mentasta, all the way down to Chitna, even Canada, even Northway, Tanacross, Dot Lake. That's our family. Our family is big.
What do you mean?
So I thought that in the old days when that IRA was set up, what they found out, and I think how they made IRA, is that they found out that we already had tribal governments operating in Alaska. We had a communal ownership of the land. Not just me owns it. Everybody here owns it. We own this land everywhere. And I can't give it away. I can't sell my land. They can't sell their land without talking to the whole village itself or the chief. I can't go hunt in Copper Center unless I go to the chief of Copper Center. We can't. That's just like stealing. I can't go cut logs here unless I ask. I gotta get permission, just like our laws are really strict. And I've known these things were going on. In fact, I didn't sign up for land claims myself. In 1967, I saw Willie Hensley and Emil Nadi and Don Wright and Charlie Edwardson at my mom's place. They said they were going to negotiate in Congress for the Land Claims Settlement Act. And I said, why should we ask the United States for our own land back? Why should we ask the United States for our own land back? It belongs to us already. What we should do is just make sure they know the boundaries. We know them. And now on our particular board of directors, the Otna board of directors, we don't have a representation of the traditional chiefs' families. And the petition that someone had alluded to earlier was one that I have passed. And we'd like to get our elders on that board. We don't know anything. Kids, they still call me a kid, although I'm 38. But we don't, if it weren't for the elders, I'm just like a baby, don't know nothing, crazy. And anybody my age is too. That knowledge and that patience and that understanding and that warmth and that fairness, justness, comes with age. I get mad easy, but an elder, they won't get mad easy. We have to respect the elders. Just because they don't know English doesn't mean they don't know the boundaries of our land. So I felt that traditional leadership wasn't used to pick out the land, to negotiate in Congress, or now to maintain and manage our lands. And by the way, my mother signed me up for the Land Claim Settlement Act. I told Willie Hensley and them that I wouldn't sign up. I knew from the start that the land claims was stealing. I knew from the start it was wrong because I never thought we should ever have to go to the United States and ask for our own land back. We're the owners. We should be levying the taxes. We're the owners. We should be making the improvements. That pipeline that goes through our land, we should be getting oil from it just like they promised us. They promised us in 1969 that the gas and oil would go down half price when they put that pipeline on. They promised us jobs. I moved here in 73 and I never got to work until 77 on that pipeline. I only worked 2 weeks. And my whole family's the same way. And the employment because of Otna and some of the subsidiaries of Otna have been only to certain families. And I don't think that's fair. Certain families are always elected to the board. So we don't have a representation of equality on the board. And most of them are one family, so if any one of us run for the board, maybe there's 5 votes against 8, a block of 8. That block of 8 always stays on there. And they're not traditional leaders. And I also want to say that I'm not going to lose the land. There's people like me that feel the same way. That our children born after 1971, they're still Indians, they're still Eskimos, they're still Aleuts. They don't consider themselves to be anything else. The kind of food they eat, these kids right here, they're crazy about fish and moose meat and everything. They don't go running for pork and beef and But when they see us eating bone marrow, they just run, you know. They're crazy for it. Fish eggs, dry fish, boy, they're just crazy for it. We can't go without it. We've lived for it for thousands of years, and we can't stop now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pete.
Hello. My name is Clarence McConkey. I was born in Chitna, raised in Copper Center until I was 10 years old, at which time I became displaced. I'm one of the displaced natives she was talking about. The displacement was through the authority of the state of Alaska at that time, which doesn't have the whole vote of the state to be even a state. They say they have a two-third vote, but they don't count the native votes. At the time the state was made a state, the native vote was not counted. It's on the records. Also, as it was said before, and it'll be said again, ANSCA was a public law, but it was a settlement law. It wasn't a law deterring the rights of the people, I don't think. The rights that were handed down through the ages, inherent, those that we abided by for years upon years before the buying of Alaska, which is also supposedly, because I think that under the treaty that was paid for, that it was only for trading rights, and the United States automatically took that as a right of ownership. Enrolled myself. And at that time, I